Can you believe tomorrow is Christmas Eve? Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Here we are. What an amazing time of year. Really, we should be so thankful and so giving and so focused on the birth of Jesus Christ every single day of the year. Really, that's what life is all about. There would be no Christmas without Christ. So today we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, whether or not today was the actual birthday of Jesus, we don't know. But thank God we still have a national recognized day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because had it not been for Jesus Christ, we would none be here. So he gave everything, as they were talking a while ago, he gave everything for us that we would have life. And so today I want us to talk about knowing Jesus. So I'm not coming at you today with your traditional Christmas story. We know that Jesus was born in a manger. We've read and we've heard, and I've preached many, many times and look forward to preaching it again, that he came through a virgin birth and the miracle of all that happened. But I believe many times we focus so much on baby Jesus being born in a manger that we don't realize who he is and how powerful he is today and what he's doing in our lives today. He came in that form, but he didn't stay that way. He came as a baby, the Bible says, just as you and I. He was a miracle because his mom had not been with a man, the Bible says. And so his birth was a miracle. But he didn't stay that way. He was 33 years on earth. He laid down his life. He died. After 3 days, rose again, taught for a few weeks, and ascended into heaven, the Bible says. And so I want us to look at today Jesus as being God. Jesus as being God, the ruler of our life, the power that he represents. And it all began with him as a child. But today, Jesus is no longer a baby. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you didn't stay a baby? When you were born, you didn't stay a baby. There are some things that you could accomplish today that you couldn't accomplish when you were in the manger, when you were in your little nursery. There were some things that you were at your parents' mercy, or those that care for you, their mercy to take care of you and make sure that you were seen to. But you grew up to be something that God formed you to be, and you're doing more today than what you could do as a baby. So I want us to look today in a little different light of who Jesus is. We've been in a series for the past 4 weeks of knowing Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, and I believe this part five today. If you haven't been here the last 4 weeks, it's okay. Today is a standalone to where we can still glean some knowledge of who Jesus is and to really know Jesus, more than just a name, just more than the Christ that came that we celebrate his birth today. I believe that we can know Jesus more as someone that came to give his life for each of us, that was born and raised to a man for each one of us. So I want us to look at that, knowing Jesus and the benefits of knowing Jesus. That's where I want to come from today. But our focus scripture in the sermon today is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2 says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined," underline that word, "for I determined." Determination requires action. "I determined," he says, "not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Father, I just lift up, Lord, this word to you that I feel like that you've burned upon my heart to bring today, Lord. God, you want to know us. And Lord, you want us to know you. Father, draw us closer to you today. As we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's sad today to realize the God that people put in their lives, from money to possessions to relationships to things to wooden statues. People put gods in their life and expect to have a better life by putting their life into a God, a small g God. There's only one God. There's only one life. We'll read in just a moment how powerful that is to us. But isn't it amazing how the world goes out of their way to not recognize Jesus? They go out of their way not to use a capital C in Christmas. They go out of their way to say holiday rather than Merry Christmas. They go out of their way to belittle who Jesus is. And so I want us to look at that today. That's really nothing new. We'll see in the Bible that even the leaders of Jesus' time were wanting to eliminate Jesus because they didn't like him. What he stood for, what he talked like, what he did, how he sounded. I mean, whatever they could pin on him, they didn't like Jesus. But John 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice there's a capital W there in my version, New King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe the Word is speaking of Jesus. He, because it says he in verse 2, he, who is he? He is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, capital H, Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was God. Dropping down to verse 14 of John 1, and the Word, capital W, and the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. He came in human form as a baby. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We were singing that a while ago. Full of grace and truth. And over in Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. So the Bible proves that Jesus is God. But even greater than that, we see that Jesus claims to be God. Jesus claims to be God. We were talking about an artist the other day, and I'm not going to call any names, but a very popular artist that when she was confronted about knowing Jesus, she wanted to sidestep who Jesus was, wanted to kind of candy coat it a little bit so that she wouldn't get much flack from the media and much flack from people that were trying to identify her as a Christian person. But Jesus actually claimed to be God. He didn't say, well, that's my Father, but I have nothing to do with him. You know, some people jokingly say, yeah, I know him, but I don't have anything to do with him. You know, just kind of play it around. But Jesus claims to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. It says in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Jesus claimed to be God. That's what Jesus is saying. But the leaders of the time of Jesus were trying to pin something on Jesus to cause him to admit who he was. Oh, they knew he was nothing. They knew that he was nothing. They wanted to take his life. But if there's something they could pin on Jesus, what they really wanted to do was eliminate Jesus. They wanted to take his life. And so we see in Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 to 64, it says, now the chief priest, the elders, thank God I don't have elders like that. I've got elders that love me and love Jesus. Amen. Amen. The chief priest, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus. Why? To put him to death. But found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. If you're looking for negativity long enough, you're going to find negativity. Amen. They just kept searching and kept searching and kept searching. And so finally they found two false witnesses, and they came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to Jesus, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. Isn't it neat to know who you are in Jesus? When people bring ammunition and bring things against you, sometimes the best defense is not to say anything. So Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to Jesus, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. People today have issue with Jesus Christ. People then had issue with Jesus Christ. They wanted to put him to death. So Jesus came, and he claims to be God. Jesus also claims to be the only way, the Word says. He claims to be the only way. There is no other way. We can dream of different things. We can dream of different avenues. We can come up with some great ideas. But the Bible says the way that seems right to a man leads to death. There's only one way, and Jesus claims to be that way. John 14, verses 6 and 7, this is what he told Thomas. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would also have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen me. What he's saying is, now that you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen God. You've seen my Father, because we are the same. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've met me, you have met the Father also. So Jesus is claiming here to be the way, to be the truth, and to be the life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this, enter by the narrow gate. You say, well, it's so hard, it's so difficult. Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You know what's so difficult is the conflict you get from people. What you find so difficult is people are doing things a different way, and you want to be liked, and so especially when you're younger, you want to do things that are accepted, and so you tend to bend your rules a little bit just because that's what makes it so difficult. I find that once you make up your mind who you are and who Jesus is in your life, it's really easy, because it's okay to have a glass of Sprite when everybody's drinking everything else, and nothing, you know. I'm just saying for me. You know, it's easier for me to take a stand once I realize who I am in Jesus Christ. It says he's the only way, he's the only truth, he's the only life. Who do you know Jesus to be? Do we really know Jesus? Do we know him as more than at the right hand of the Father? Do we know him as more than God? Do we know who Jesus really is? Well, Jesus asked that question in Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, 27 through 29 says, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And so they answered, some say John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Why is it important that Jesus want to know who do you say he is? It's important that we know who he is. Why? Because it's just as important for you to know your family. It's more important that we know who Jesus is, as our creator, as our Lord. He wants to know, do you know him? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Peter says, you are the Christ. Philippians 2, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. But Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, the good thing about knowing Jesus, we don't have to wait for to write an email, to get into a committee, to be approved, to maybe to be a part of a meeting with other 500 other people to meet this person. Jesus Christ wants to meet you. Jesus Christ wants to be part of your life, and he wants you to know him. There are benefits, we're going to talk about in just a moment, there are benefits to knowing Jesus that will only come through knowing Jesus. See, Jesus claims to be the God. He claims to be God. He claims to be the only way, the truth, and the life. But not only does he claim it, but he's also given us proof in the Word of God. We have proof that he is those things he claims to be. And so Jesus has plans for your life that unless we know him, there are greater things in your life than what you've experienced even through today, from the day you were born. The only way to experience those things is to know Jesus, where all these things come from. All the most important benefits in life come from Jesus Christ. There are other things that we can do. There are other things that we can enjoy. There are places we can go. But when it comes right down to it, there's something in Jesus Christ that money nor possessions can buy, cannot purchase. It only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to share those few things with you today. Jesus wants us to experience by knowing him his power. His power. See, the power of Jesus is so awesome that he can change directions of people in your life to cause good to come to your life. He can create things in your life to move and favor in your life that would not happen any other way except through the power of Jesus Christ. He is awesome. He's powerful. He can create something out of nothing. The Bible says he can create a river in the wilderness. So that gives us a picture of in this dry place where there's nothing but tumbleweed and sand and dry sunshine and just chapped lips and no plants, nothing living. He can create a river in the middle of that. How many times do we come to a place in life that we feel that same way? That we feel like, God, I'm so dried out, I'm so worn out, I'm so tapped out, I'm at the end of everything that I can do. I have nothing else to offer. And when we come to Jesus, when we know him, when we know who he is, he can create a flood right in the middle of that thing that you're facing to create such a wonderful, just powerful presence of God. And many of you are facing those very things today. See, Christmas time is a great time of year for some. Christmas time is a peaceful, a joyful time of the year. And then for some others, it's a tough time of the year. We have personal friends right now in Jacksonville, Mayo, friends of the Browns that we know personally, that Christmas right now, they need a miracle. Because a young girl my age or younger, she's very young, obviously, young girl who had a heart transplant 16 years ago, Her heart is failing, and she had a heart attack, and they had to bring her back twice. Friday was a week ago. And so she's fighting for her life. So Christmas time right now is tough for this family. They're standing there with her, and they need a miracle, and we've been there to pray with them, and many of us are praying for the family. But did you know that the power of God can change all that? There's some of you that have been through events in your past, and when it comes Christmas time, you struggle. You want to be happy. You want to have the peace of God, but it's hard for you. You're trying to muster that joy up within yourself. You know what? It's through the power of God that we can have joy. It's through the power of God and knowing who he is to let his power change the way that we see things. We were talking yesterday, Chris and I were talking yesterday and talking about how tough things are sometimes and talking about a particular situation. But I said, you know what? When we look at the good and the bright side of that, had it not been for those tough times, there would not be the blessing times. So many times we have to search and we have to seek the good even in the tough times. God's power. The story in the Bible that where Jesus came to a blind man, this man was blind, and Jesus came to him and healed him. His eyes were healed. He could see, the Bible says. But these people, they were all witnesses standing around this blind man's healing. And again, they wanted to find out the truth. They wanted to get to the root of what this was. So they actually went to friends and family and made sure that this man had really been blind. He sees, but maybe he really wasn't blind. You know, there'll be naysayers all around us. Well, that really didn't happen. That really wasn't the power of God. That would have happened anyway. Miss Deborah, you would have gotten that check anyway 2 weeks after waiting a year for it. See, there's always naysayers. There's always those that are doubting Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, it really happens. Miracles happen today through the power of Jesus Christ. Miracles happen. You can believe it. And so they were going around interviewing this man's parents, trying to establish this man's story if he was truly blind. And it says in John 9:17, as they came to the blind man, they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about Jesus? What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." Dropping down to verse 25 of John 9, it says, "And he answered and said to them, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know," I love that, "one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I can see. I can't explain it." Sometimes we won't explain it to the extent, and if we can't explain it, it must not be real. Listen, the power of God we will never ever be able to explain on this side of heaven. There's no way we can explain how powerful God is. But we do know that he healed blinded eyes. Just like he can heal cancer today. Just like he can heal a failing heart today. Just like he can heal knees today, Mike. He can heal whatever you need. There's nothing more powerful than the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? He didn't just want to talk about it in the Word. He wants to show you. He wants you to experience the power of God. Why? Because as you know him, as you draw close to him, as you rely on him, you say, "God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. But Lord, I know that you can." And he will do it. Jesus is powerful. Healing, forgiveness, changed life. He gives us the power to overcome the devil. He gives us the power to overcome anything that we're struggling with in life. No matter how much of a grip it seems that it's got on your life, he is powerful to help you to overcome those things. Temptation, adversity, depression, discouragement, weakness, all of those things we have in our human form. And probably some of us have experienced all these things I've just named. But through the power of Jesus Christ, he wants us to experience him, not as a little baby in a manger, and that's great, that's beautiful, and we thank God for that miracle, but he was raised from that as a man now who sits at the right hand of God, the Bible says, to bring us all power, to experience his power, and to know who he is. No matter what you have need of today, I want you to leave here encouraged today that God has the power to reverse whatever that adversity is in your life today. Amen? The second thing Jesus wants us to experience is his presence. He wants you to know that he is always with you. The Bible says in Hebrews that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Many times we don't recognize that. Many times we don't feel like he's around us. We go by feelings rather than what we know. What we know. What we know. The Bible says that he will never leave us. There have been times I've left him. Anybody? There have been times I've walked away from him. But I can't blame him for leaving me when I was the foolish one to leave him. That's why the Bible says, as I draw near to him, he draws near to me. I draw near to him, he draws near to me. A couple of Saturdays ago, we live 8 minutes from the church, praise God, speaking of miracles. But a couple of Saturdays ago, I was at home doing some work and doing some studying, and Crystal said, I need to run up to church, and there's a few things I need to do, so I'm going to run up to church and do that. I said, that's fine. Call me if you need me. So me and the boys, our six-year-old Dotson and our 11-month-old Dotson, me and the boys were sitting at home. They were helping me study. And I should have put up a picture of them yesterday when I was in my chair sitting studying. They were, Indy was on the bottom with a blanket, and Rocky was on top of him, and they were just sound out. They were helping me pray and helping me study for today. Anyway, a couple of Saturdays ago, Crystal came over to the church. She had a few things to do. And she was here for a little while. All of a sudden, I get a call from her. And she said, hey. I said, hey. She said, there's somebody in the parking lot, and they're acting strange. I said, really? What are they doing? She said, well, they came, and they're kind of hiding over in the edge of the woods there in the parking lot. And they're acting strange. They got out of the car, and they're walking around and got back in the car, and somebody pulled up. And they both got out of the car, and they walked around and talked for a little while. The other car left. He got back in his car like he was going to leave. And then he got back out, opened the trunk, was looking in the trunk, closed the trunk, walked around the car, and then got back in the car, and he's just sitting there. I said, is he coming up to the church or anything? She said, no. She said, but I'm a little uneasy. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I said, I'll be right there. She said, no, don't come, don't come, don't come. I said, no, if you're uneasy, you know, I don't know what's going on. If you're uneasy, if you don't recognize the car, recognize who it is, yeah, I'll be right there. So I did. We got in the car, and about 5 minutes up the road, me and the boys were headed here, and she said, you don't have to come. I said, honey, I'm already almost there. I said, it's fine. She said, okay. So when I got here, I pulled over where she said they were parked. Well, there was nobody here by the time I got here. She said they had pulled out just before I got here. She said, you see a white car? I said, no. And so, but what she asked me that later on when we talked. But when I pulled in, I just pulled in and pulled around there and faced the office door. And I just parked right in the back corner back there. So me and the boys rolled the windows down, and I was just reading some scripture, and we just sat there in the car. Sat there in the car. And we were there for, I don't know, maybe an hour while she was in here doing her work, and just sat there reading and studying. She didn't come back to the car. I didn't ever saw anybody. I just sat right there in the car with the windows down, right there in the shade, a beautiful day like it is today. And it triggered later on when we got home. She said, thank you for doing that. And as I was studying the presence of God, what made the difference for Crystal was she knew I was close by. I was up the street by 8 minutes, but that wasn't good enough. She felt better when I was close by. I didn't even get out of the car. I didn't lift a hand. I didn't get out of my chair. I sat there. But because of my presence, there was a sense of security that Crystal had by me being close by. She could look out of her window and see Mike's there. Jesus wants you to know that he is close by you. See, there is no security without Jesus. And we can know that the presence of Jesus is close by you to give you the sense of security that you need. All the times that you're frightened, all the times that you're scared, many times... We've had close friends that have had awful dreams at night. They've struggled with dreams and feeling like that they're being attacked and all those things. But there is a sense of security that comes when you know that the presence of God is near. When you know that he is close by, there's a sense of saying, you know what, Jesus, I may not see you with these physical eyes, but I know you're close by. And there are many times that he gives us signs that he is close by. There are other times we have to have faith in knowing that he says he's here with me. So I want us to remember that through the presence of God, we can experience who Jesus is, knowing that he is with us. Without his presence, there is no security. When we welcome his presence, so what if you say, Jesus, I need you near. Jesus, I don't know what's going on in my life. There's a place of confusion I'm in right now. See, we know confusion is not of God. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if there's a place of confusion in your life, there's a sign that God's probably not in that. And so we need to pray, God, show me your presence. Show me that you're in this thing to where I know that I can have security in going through this thing. Because many times we have to go through it. He doesn't, in my life, now maybe it's just me, in my life, he normally doesn't take me out of the situation. Wouldn't that be great? Going through a hard time and he says, okay, you're out, you're done. You know, I knew you were going to make it. Kind of like Abraham was getting ready to kill his son and God said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. It's like, wow, you know. But many times he wants me to go through it so that I truly know that I can trust him to bring me through on the other side. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 24 through 25 says, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an unformed person comes in. In other words, as we're conducting honoring Jesus Christ today, and someone were to come in the doors and not know Jesus, that's what it's referring to. And an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. In other words, he will know just from the presence of God that there's something different here, he or she. Just knowing that there's something different. See, when you carry Jesus with you, people know that there's something different. You don't even have to say anything. They just sense that there's something different because you're carrying the presence of God with you. They know that, wow, that glow on your face, are you wearing a new makeup? Do you have a light bulb behind you? I mean, what's the glow about? The glow is because you're carrying the presence of Jesus Christ. Because I want to say that this uninformed person comes in and he's convinced by all, he's convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. Some people say, well, after church, they'll come say, how did you know what I was going through? You were talking right to me. Saying, well, that was God. It wasn't me. It's God speaking. Amen? The secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among us. It's his presence. It's his presence. Moses said this in Exodus 33:15. Then he said to Jesus, he said to God, Moses did, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, you can tell me, you can and instruct me to go anywhere and I'll go it. But if your presence isn't with me, I'm staying right here. That's the way we need to be, y'all. We need to be, you know what? I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. I need his protection. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. There are things that I face from time to time that's like, God, I need an answer. And if I could have it yesterday, that'd be good, you know. I need him right now. So we need his presence. We need him to feed into us what we need to know. And many times there's not a book to get it out of. We need an answer from God right now. And it's a divine answer. And he's always there. He's always there to speak that thing. Now, many times we have finger in our ears and no, God, that's not the answer. Go back and think about it again. Nope, that's not the answer either. Go back. So that's our fault. But he gives us the answer so that we can go forward. His presence is with us. The third thing and the last thing I wanted to share with you today that he wants us to experience is his peace. His peace. See, the peace of Jesus Christ passes all understanding. People will say, how can you have peace in such a difficult time? How can you go through what you're going through and have such peace? How can you be facing this huge final, Austin, and have such peace? You have confidence in God. See, that peace is having confidence that he's going to work it all out. It's not that you've got the answer. I don't have the answer. But I know one who does. And he brings us that peace so that we can go through that thing and still have confidence and peace in God and knowing that he's fully in control. See, Jesus gets blamed for a lot because we say, well, Jesus is in control. Unless he's been given control, he didn't take control. We can't blame all the starving children on Jesus. Unless we give him control, he doesn't just snatch it and take, here, give that to me, I'm taking control. That's not the God that we serve. Same in your life and my life. Unless I give him control of my life, he's not going to have control of my life. He created me so that I can make a decision. Am I going to live by the control of Mike, or am I going to live by the control of God? So it's up to me who I give control to some person, to myself, or to God, or to the devil. So the peace of God comes as I know him and as I trust him with my life. God, you do have control. It may not be the answer that I'm looking for. It may not have been the perfect plan that I have, but I'll settle for your plan. Many times we say that. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. Jesus is telling you today, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not the fake peace. It's not the peace that's made if it gets wet, the bottom falls out. It's not that kind of peace. This peace is stable. It's not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, he says, neither let it be afraid. So we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. When we give it to Jesus, when we receive his peace, give it to him. Give it to him. See, worry is a lack of faith. We can't doubt and have faith too. I've got faith, God, but I doubt you can do it. You know, I've got faith and you can do it, but it's doubtful that you're going to really do it. This is big. But we can have peace. We can have security. We can know that his presence is near us. We know that he can be all powerful. And to do that thing, there's not a mountain in your life that he can't move. Amen? When he owns everything on the mountain and everything under the mountain and the very roots that the mountain's planted on, it's all his. He created those things, not the bad things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? But he can cause those things, what Satan means for harm, he can turn those things around for your good. Only God can do that, the all-powerful God. So let me read that again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says this. Be anxious for nothing. No thing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Be anxious for nothing. There is nothing you need to be anxious for. But, except for, there's not any exception, is there? It said nothing. Don't be anxious for it. It's a little thing, okay, I don't have to be anxious for that. But this big thing, Pastor Mike, this is hard. I can't let this go. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. God is bringing the answer. Many times the reason for the answer being delayed is to help your faith being built in Jesus Christ. If we pray today and 2 seconds later we had it, that doesn't take much faith, does it? We know 2 seconds is going to be answered. What does build our faith is that we've got to wait until 2 seconds, 2 years. Sometimes people are praying for their children 20 years and onward to see their children saved. Don't give up. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Say all understanding. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through who? Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. So we can have peace. We can have peace in misunderstandings. We can have peace in conflict. Oh my goodness. We could just stay here for a while. We can have peace in all these things. Peace where there's conflict, where there's trouble, where there's sickness, where there's decisions to be made. All of those situations, we can have the peace of God in verse 7. Of Philippians 4 that passes all understanding. I don't understand how you have that peace. I don't understand how you can have such confidence. You haven't been paid in a month. How are you living? You can have peace like that. How can you have the peace? The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Why? Because he's all powerful. He's ever present. Amen? That's how we can have peace. Because what he says, he doesn't lie. What he says, he means. Who he says he is, he really is. He says he's God. Jesus is God. He's not one to lie. He's not one to lie. Grace and peace. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, 2, 3. Easy to remember, isn't it? 2 Peter 1, 2, 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Well, my goodness, it goes right back to knowing God, doesn't it? May the grace and peace be multiplied. Not just one layer of it, but be multiplied over and over and over and over. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. Now, wait a minute. All things? I'm pretty sure I just said all things. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Power, presence, and peace can all be obtained, and we can experience it firsthand by knowing Jesus Christ. It's the same Jesus Christ that was born in the manger. The same Jesus Christ that they all came to see. You know what? Just as Elder Andy said a little while ago, we should be still so excited and joyful to see what Jesus is going to do. What is Jesus going to do in this mess of government that we're in the middle of? Jesus can do it. He has all power. Be anxious for nothing. Sometimes we can have a little more faith if we turn the news off. Had somebody tell me the other day, I said, "So how you doing, man?" He said, "I'm good. I ain't watching the news anymore." I said, "I'm with you." Don't base your faith on what you see and hear. Amen? Jesus is more powerful than what we see going on in our government today. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm going to close with this, but we were with a family the other day, and there's a young boy, part of the family, and he's old enough. He still lives at home. And y'all know me. When we got ready to leave, I just grabbed him and hugged him. I said, "I love you." And I don't know that I've ever seen a look like that. He stepped back and looked at me, and his face just got flush. Didn't say a word. Just stepped back, and I got to think about that later. I don't know that he's ever heard that very many times. So just in case you don't know, I love you. And Jesus loves you too. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He came to tell you today that He loves you. There's nothing that you're going to face today, tomorrow, next week, or into the new year. There's nothing that you will face that you and Jesus can't handle. Amen. Aren't you glad? Let's stand together this morning. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads together.